All right, Dan's going to steer this ship today. He has asked for the keys.
I am running the show.
But I've been meaning to say this for the past 3 months on just what it is that we're doing. Our hope for this podcast is that we're kind of continuing conversations from Sunday. Mike, who works with us, he called it snackable formation. You know, the hope is that this is for our Norton campus. If anybody else listening, we love it. But the hope is that we'd have conversations for the folks here at the Norton campus to kind of continue the conversation we're having on Sunday, take some of the concepts, make them a little bit more practical, that we would just kind of exercise these things out, work out our salvation in our actual lives.
Yeah. I think what's fun about it is this kind of like conversations you and I sometimes have.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we're like, why don't you guys join us and kind of sit around the table? And so it's fun to be able to smash it out. And sometimes you come to conclusions and sometimes it's just a process, right?
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. Where are you at in the Mr. Rogers series watching here? Like, what are we doing here?
Man, we've done. I go through runs and stuff. We did the biography, which is just fascinating. I just listened to it. Yeah. We did a book called The Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
A little lady interviewed him, just hearing about his faith. But we have it on in the morning. If the boys want to watch TV in the morning, it's only Mr. Rogers. Can we watch this?
Rogers.
Nope, Mr. Rogers. So they had a live trio, jazz trio play. So there's always just, here's a factory of us making bears with just some jazz behind it. I'm like, this is what the world needs. Just Mr. Rogers planting some seeds with some jazz behind it.
I always thought it's dangerous to watch when you're raising little kids because I'm like, that man is the most patient man on the entire planet, and it made me feel really impatient.
When I was a kid, I hope.
Like, get your shoes on.
I don't know if my mom listens to this or not, but I said to my mom once, I said, Mom, Bonnie doesn't yell at the kids. I couldn't say my R's. Barney doesn't yell at the kids. My kids are probably like, Mr. Rogers doesn't get this mad at us.
Hey, well, man, we wanted to talk a little bit about Sunday.
Had
a conversation. So we're in Story of God, and we finally are Book of Acts.
We're finally at God's Bod.
Yeah. Ooh.
So this is a Story of God pod talking about God's Bod.
Say that three times. Were you thinking all morning about that? Like,
Garrett said that a couple months ago. And
Feels good. Send your emails to Garrett on that one. I love it. But this week, thought you did a great job kind of connecting where we're at in the story with the whole story.
Yeah.
And a big bulk of what you talked about was this idea of discipling and what it means to be a disciple, what it means to make it. And, you know, I don't know who all is listening, but I know that can sound like a church word. You know what I mean? Like disciple, like we don't go around normally and say, hey, there's my disciple or I'm going to, you know, whatever. How, Aiden, for people who are listening, church or unchurch, doesn't matter. Would you de-churchify or demystify that word so that we can get handles on it? Like, what is it that Jesus is asking us to do?
Yeah, I think it's understanding what a disciple is, because then Jesus calls before he ascends, Matthew 28, go make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, go make something that we're not sure what it is all the time. And it is a church word. And there's you know, been authors and movements recently that have kind of equated it to the word apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a one-for-one necessarily, but I think that's a helpful word, apprentice, because you think of a trade. I think of my relationship with you over the last 12, 15 years, apprenticing under you in a way where you're learning from someone, you're doing something alongside of somebody, and it's something. So I think there's this learning aspect, this following someone aspect, this, you know, walking along with someone. Parenting is probably an easy picture of this, mentorship. That apprenticing word is helpful. But I think it's also like, if there's something you're passionate about and you're apprenticing under somebody, like, it's something that you care about. Discipleship, it probably sounds oftentimes like a church word that isn't very, I said we feel underprepared for and under-inspired by sometimes. Like, it's like, you want to be a disciple? And you're like, sure. You know, it doesn't like capture. Where I think I think the word apprentice, like, I remember when I was an intern and I was moving to residency and the guy who I worked for moved and you're like, listen, we're going to walk this thing together and we're going to meet we've been meeting every week for the last 2014.
Sorry about that.
12 years. Yeah. The last 12 years.
Yeah.
Which was every Wednesday and has recently moved to Monday. So I got the shaft there. But I have always looked forward to those meetings. I'm like, oh, this, I come with questions. I ask you questions. There's times where you're walking through a hard time and I'll ask you how's it going. Most of the time is you being like, you good? Yeah. You don't look like it. That's usually what you're asking me. Everything from, hey, how do we plan the thing we're doing to, hey, can you help me? I'm in this pastoral situation. You've done it 100 times. But I look forward to and value those things. You know, someone who's apprenticing, like if I'm coming in to be a carpenter and I'm apprenticing under an experienced carpenter who's been doing it for a long time and has the touch and has the eye and has the experience, that's a life-giving thing for me. So I think we miss that in discipleship, the beauty and compelling nature of Jesus who has invited us in along with him, not as an obligation, but as a like the disciples were like, forget the nets. This dude's, I don't understand what he's talking about all the time, but he's compelling.
Yeah.
So I think of that. Yeah.
Why do you, I think it's an interesting way that you put underprepared, ill-inspired. Is that how you said that?
Or, yeah. Yeah.
With the whole thing. Why do you think people that follow Jesus for a long time, like you can sit and talk with them and say, hey, you know, how do you feel about going to making disciples? And I would say most times people are like, I'm not prepared. It's not something I can do. Why do you think that is? Like, how do we get across the bridge to help people either be prepared or realize they're more prepared than they think?
Sure.
Or...
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably a big piece of it. Yeah. Yeah. We do this on Tuesday mornings and we have a small group on Monday nights with newlywed couples. And we were kind of smashing this around, had a great conversation. A couple of those guys are listening. And we all kind of felt that like, I don't know. Because I think when we think of making disciples, and this is definitely part, this is not part of it, you know, about almost praying the prayer with somebody, almost explaining the whole thing and then being like, do you want to pray? Like that is important. That happens. I wish I had the study in front of me, but someone had done a study that was talking about someone who is opposed to Christ, who eventually gives his life to Christ. And all of us are probably on that spectrum in different places. And they talk about some of the stops. One of the stops is like, they have to have a relationship with a Christian that they actually trust and like, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when we talk about disciple making, we always think about that moment where they cross from death to life, where they go from, I wasn't a believer and now I am, in that conversation. And there's people listening that have had that conversation with people. You know, I hope to have that conversation with my kids one day, and different people. I've been able to be part of those conversations over the course of my life. But I think most of it, the reason it's intimidating is that's almost all we think of. And we feel, well, I'm not exactly sure what the words are. Or what if they ask a question about that I don't have the answer to because they saw this YouTube video and have this. And I think those are things we worry about. And I think what we looked at Sunday, Jesus calls us to, you will be my witnesses, bear witness. I had a guy with us last night. I loved the way he said this because I think this is all of us. He goes, I worry about in these conversations if they're going to ask me a question I'm going to answer for, if I'm going to not have the clearest explanation. And then he said, I mean, all I know is, and he kind of told his story in 30 seconds about how much he loves Jesus and who God is to and what he's done for him. And you're like, you're more prepared than anybody because you know what God's done for you. And I think of that. I think sometimes we think of it in like a weekend. How do I get this person from here to here this weekend? Where most times, what if making disciples, and which is inviting someone to follow me as I follow Christ, which you don't have to say that. I think sometimes people are like, I don't want to tell this person, you're my disciple. Like that feels arrogant or that feels like uncomfortable. I was talking to a friend once who was friends, this person was friends with this other person who was newer in faith, and they just talked about parenting and they talked about life and they talked about anxieties and they talked about marriage and all this kind of stuff, and they're friends. And the guy would never call it discipleship, but you're like, but that's what it is. This is a discipleship relationship. You've been walking with Jesus a little bit longer and you guys are having this conversation. And if you look back over the last 4 years, that person's trust in Jesus grew, their faith with a church, or faith in Christ, experience with the church grew. I think sometimes if we maybe lengthen our expectations of what this is, you know, I have a couple little boys, I want them to know Jesus, it's going to be their whole life. And it might do this. It more than likely will. And I think that's everybody, the family member that we're talking with, the kids that we have, the person we're working with, that old friend from high school who doesn't know Jesus. Like, what if we zoomed out the timeline and didn't expect or just think about that crossing the threshold conversation that's important, but we saw this whole picture that we were inviting them into and all that. I think of those things.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because I think what you're saying is true. Like I honestly think if somebody's struggling with understanding discipleship and how to make disciples, I wonder if the best thing to have them do is deconstruct their own experience, which is kind of what that guy did in your group, and just say, okay, just stop. You're getting caught up on the word. You think it's a program. You think it's going through a book. And I think those things are fine. But I think they can cause an unnecessary obstacle. I got to seal the deal. And then disciple making is, let's go through this 10-week really heavy thing. And now I'm a disciple. You know, it's like, if you deconstruct your experience, here's what I would say in my experience. I was discipled most by people who never called it that.
Right.
And it wasn't formal. It was a relationship that I had where they continually, sometimes intentionally, sometimes just because it experientially was the way they worked out kingdom work, they sowed seeds of the kingdom in me. And I was discipled by them. So sometimes I was discipled by them in casual conversations. Sometimes it was intentional times in the Word.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was watching them go through a hard time. Sometimes it's when they showed up in my hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was a friendship. Sometimes, and I think that's why we would say every relationship and meeting is a discipleship opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a chance to live out the kingdom. Right? So whether, so if it's, it, you know, it's sowing seeds in your neighbors. And then sometimes it's intentional, inviting somebody to, you know, when that opportunity comes, to have a conversation about, if they don't know Christ, about Christ, or if they do know Christ, it's like reading the Word together, growing together. I think the words can throw people off, and then the stories they've heard.
Yeah.
It's like, it's these two things. And it's like, well, just deconstruct.
Yeah.
And when I do that, I think of people in my life that I'm like, if you said, who discipled you, I'd begin thinking of, you know, a dad who, I don't know if you sat him down and said, hey, did you do discipleship? He'd be like, my dad never took me through a 10-week.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There's
those things are part of the journey,
But I grew up watching him respond and caught him praying without him knowing I was doing that. And he discipled me, inviting me in. There is an intentional part to it, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that kind of invites people in into the process.
Yeah.
So discipleship isn't so if I was trying to think, okay, what if somebody came to you and said, what tools do I need? Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You just preached to us, go make disciples. And now it's Monday and I'm heading out and I got a route on my truck. And then I'm going to come home to my kids and, all right, Pastor Aiden, I'm all in. Now what? What would you say?
See what you did there? Well, it's a good thing I have all the answers. Get your pens out, ladies and gentlemen. I can talk about my own life.
I like driving this car.
I think my own, and I'm exactly with you. You think about, there's different periods. I think of parents. I think of being a middle schooler, and I can't remember a dang thing that, well, I'll say dang on this podcast. I might have to block that out.
He just did.
I can't remember a loving thing that Dave Purdy said to me when I was seven. I remember one thing. I'm not going to say it on the podcast. He unpacked some scripture for me. I'm like, what's that word? And he told me. I'm like, oh, you know, it's in the New Testament. I can't remember. But I remember him showing up. I remember seeing somebody who might have seemingly had fruitless, like, time with these young middle school boys, but I saw that my parents, there was a time in college where we sat down, I was in a band with a couple guys, we sat down every Monday night, Friday night, whatever, and we kind of went through a book together for a period of time, and there was a lot of things I learned. That was part of my journey. Sitting with you for the last 12 years, that was part of my journey. My wife getting me into shape, that was part of, you know, what Jesus used in my discipleship. And so I do think it's all that stuff. But what are the, to your question, what are the tools for disciple making right now? Someone's driving truck or taking care of kids. I think it starts with, and I really do believe this, knowing why we love Jesus. And just reminding ourselves of why we're compelled by the person of Christ and the story of the gospel. And just letting that, we sing an old hymn called Revive Us Again, and letting that capture our hearts. And I know that sounds poetic, but just being like, oh yeah, man, this is, I think we have to start there. Last night, we ended with that question. So why do you love Jesus? And it was an awesome moment because everybody just, there were some tears in there, which doesn't happen all the time. It's not like we're like, you know, touching heaven every week, but it was just a moment where everyone's like, this is why I love Jesus. And people just voiced where Jesus showed up in their lives and why he's compelling. And I think we have to start there. You know, why do you love Jesus? Why? Peter says, be ready for the answer for the hope you have. He doesn't say be ready to fight back and explain the existence of God. That's important, you know, and there's people that are uniquely gifted in those things. I think of being equipped with your own story and why you love Jesus. I think it's a perspective thing. I'm not just trying to get my boys to survive or to learn some things, but I want them to see the world as a place that's created and shaped by God. And so that's all those little moments in my life, the way I talk, the way that I need forgiveness, the way that I think one of the biggest tools we have is our relationship, ongoing relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think our stories. I think that when we walk into situations and into our lives with almost an awareness, maybe just those quick prayers, and you know this to be true, there's situations you walk into that you're like, I think Lord's going to show up. And it's like, I don't know. We got through it. Mm-hmm. But then you're always blindsided by a question your family member asks you, mm-hmm. or that person like that you haven't seen in years and they're like coming back to Christ and they ask you about it and you're like, oh. Or a person that you've been praying for and you're hoping to have this conversation and they ask you this and you're like, oh. In all those things, it's being ready with the hope that you have, mm-hmm. and just sowing seed. I think maybe one of the tools we need is patience, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. One of the tools that we need is faithfulness to Christ. And I think one of the biggest things we talked about this Sunday, when he says, you will be my witnesses, mm-hmm. he doesn't say, he gathered them all and said, all right, guys, you're going to be my witnesses. Get after it. Mm-hmm. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to give you power. Mm-hmm. And you will be my witnesses. We said it Sunday, but we are joining the Holy Spirit in a conversation that he's already having. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an awareness. I think there's our story. And I think there is just the ongoing. There's always, I think everybody feels underprepared. There's always going to be something you don't know. And I think clothing ourselves in humility is probably more important than clothing ourselves in information. To be like, that is a great question.
That's well put.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Let them struggle with it. Be like, can I think about it this week? And maybe try to, I'd love to drum up an answer and keep this conversation going with you, or a response, but yeah, let me wrestle with that. That may feel like a defeat, mm-hmm. which we shouldn't even be using that language in the moment, but it's going to breed trust with that person and humility with that person. And mm-hmm. I think it's awareness. I think it's our story. I think it's trust in the Spirit. I think it's commitment to Jesus and the ongoing, as we just follow him daily, there's passages that pop out that you're like, oh man, I didn't know this 10 years ago. And this really hits my heart. And I think a spirit might use it in someone's life today. Mm-hmm. I think it's that ongoing walk with Jesus that shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well. I think that's well put. You made me think this as you're talking. Like sometimes when we read the Bible, the black and white of the Bible, we can imply tones in there.
Yeah.
And so that whole part, Acts 1, where he's like, you're going to be my witnesses, you know, you're like, you're going to go do this, like that. And it's like,
like
and,
he's at a conference,
there is an
or
imperative
something.
To go make disciples, right? Yeah. But I read that with the filter of he's the same guy that said, abide with me. Mm-hmm. And then later he says, you're my friends.
Yeah.
And I think there's this sense to which like disciple making is pursuing this friendship with Jesus,
yeah.
and inviting other people into the friendship with Jesus.
That's a great way of putting it.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to be a witness to marriage, I could go out and talk about marriage theory,
yeah.
and be a witness to marriage. Or I could pursue deeply my relationship with my wife. I love my wife, and our relationship is a witness to that. And then I have a chance to talk to couples about marriage. I'm happy to share from that. But you share, you're a witness to what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking as you're sharing that, it's like, Jesus, you're going to be my witnesses, right? The Holy Spirit's going to give you power. And sometimes we try to manufacture opportunities.
Sure.
And we miss the ones that he presents to us in the process.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So why is this important and who should do it then? Like, is it like, who's this for?
Yeah, well, if you're between the ages of 0 and 150, you're involved and you can sign up today, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it is Paul says, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. And so when we do discovery, disciple making is part of that. And oftentimes like, whoa, hold on a second. But there's something to, and I love the way you put that. As I am friends with the Lord, mm-hmm. he invites other people to come in and be friends. And I think there's a friend of mine, a new friend who's new to the faith, new around here. And he's like, I want to follow Jesus. I'm figuring it out. I don't know what he's kind of like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And I have heard him just in the last couple months encouraging other guys. And he's, if I said, oh man, that's like cool discipleship conversation, he'd be like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. But he's just like, this thing I'm walking through, I don't know. I think God's using it. And another guy's like, I never thought about that because I'm walking through the same thing. Wow, maybe he is. You know? And mm-hmm. I think it's that early on. There's no like, all right, you're a year in, ready for the second level. You know, the Lord is using us right where we're at, wherever that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I wish we could do? I wish we could get in a time capsule, go back, sit in the upper room with those disciples after Jesus left, say, y'all feel ready for this? Like, I think they all would have been like Peter been like, I just blew it, man.
Yeah.
I think James and John were like, I don't know, man. This, like, I think they would have been like, yes, because we know him.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get where there's a boldness, but he used ordinary men and women to do this. And the Spirit's power at work, all those things. One thing that you said Sunday, and I loved this, and hopefully anybody who listens in our entire church, like, I think the way you talked about it, it knocks down walls. I think people have created this idea that that's what people who know a lot about the Bible, are vocationally in ministry, that's what they do. And the truth is, you and I know this because we hear stories, that this happens all the time, every day. I was with a lady last night. She teaches school, and she says, in a public school, she said, I'm not allowed to preach or anything in there, right? But she said, I pray every day for my kids before the day starts. And I've talked to nurses and doctors who have opportunities to hold the hand of a patient and say, do you mind if I pray with you? And have a disciple-making kind of conversation where that – it happens in everyday ways all over the place.
Yeah.
Parents who their kids will say, what about, you know?
Yep.
And so that's the beauty of the stories, right?
I talked to a guy this week who at one point he's like, I think I should do ministry. And he's like wearing steel toe boots. His like standard operating clothing is like a neon shirt because he's in the trades. And he's like, I saw him recently. I've seen him in a minute. And he's like, the Lord is opening up so many doors that I wouldn't have expected. He's like, this is where I'm supposed to be because he's going to be able to have conversations.
Yeah.
Come talk to me, little fella. Like, but he's able to have conversations. And I saw him all excited about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to picture you in steel toed boots and,
doesn't go with skinny jeans very well, you know?
It doesn't for the guy who paints half his shed, right? I like it. Yeah. This is a good conversation. So we're going to continue it.
Yeah.
Right. We're
going to continue this week, looking at the story of Acts conversation. And all those things. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it, man. All right. Well, tune in next week for Story of God Pod
Bod.
About the bod that.
Yeah.